Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Game two for the Predators tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. We're taking your thoughts all show long here on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line says, one thing I feel like we haven't addressed is what can the Preds do to use the Canes' aggressiveness to their advantage. They cheat a lot, especially on the penalty kill, and you've got to make them pay like a pressing team in basketball. That's an interesting point that Tyler brings up there, because I was watching the power plays the other night for the Predators, and one thing that, and this was nothing new in the playoff game that you didn't know about Carolina coming into this, but one thing that really stands out about them is, yeah, they may be down a man, but they are incredibly aggressive on the penalty kill. And they're looking to score. They're looking to jump routes and get odd man rushes going the other way. And sometimes that works. Like, it's difficult when you've got somebody in your face on the power play to get set up. As we saw the other night, the Predators could never get set up. Now, the opposite side to that is, if you can move the puck quickly enough and you can execute good enough in the offensive zone, you should be, theoretically, able to create some good looks for you with a penalty kill that's that aggressive. The problem is, it's difficult to get set up in order to do that. You've just got to find a way to get set up. If you do it, I think you'll have some chances for some good looks, and that's when a guy like Elli Tolvanen could be pretty beneficial on the power play in this series for the Predators. The problem is, Carolina makes it so difficult to try to get set up, and the Predators did not seem to have an answer for that in the first game.
Yeah, and I hear the overall text, and I agree. I mean, I think that at times they leave themselves exposed. It's just they believe in it, and usually they don't pay for it. You have to try to make them pay for it. To your point on the power play, like quick hitters, there was one play, and I don't remember who it was, but they had one chance for something right as they were trying to enter the zone on the power play the other night. And it was right there, and they didn't connect on the pass. But that's, to me, what you have to do. If they're going to be like that, don't worry about trying to set it. I mean, get to the net right now. You know, you may have a chance to, you know, to get a really good look right away. But, again, easier said than done. You got to execute.
Drew on the text line says, would it be such a crime to start Pekka one game to give one of the greatest goalies of all time a chance behind the net against a team that is offensively better than us? Pekka could go in there and stand on his head and steal this series. Give the old man one game to see where it goes. What does UC Soros have to do to get people to realize he should be in net? I don't understand this. I really don't.
Well, that's a sentimental. It's the sentimental slash, you know, Pekka has done huge things in the postseason.
That's
before.
Fine, but UC Soros has been the best goalie in the National Hockey League for the last 2 months. This idea that Pekka should play a game is ridiculous.
There's there's overreaction that often happens after one game of playoff series. I mean, we're here and like play the kids, play Pekka. You know, I mean it's not realistic. You know, UC Soros, the reason that they wouldn't make that switch is because UC Soros could also stand on his head, and he's been clearly better than Pekka Rinne this year. So,
and that's it. Look, this is nothing against Pekka. Like, we saw it. He could come in. He can still play. Like, he can play well. But UC Soros has literally been the best goalie in the National Hockey League for the last 2 months. He deserves to play. He should play. He's going to play.
Yeah, and it's more than deserved to me. It's like, who gives you the best chance? It's him. So, that's end of story.
Logan on the text line says, let Phil Tomasino have a crack. Maybe he comes in and has a faster impact on the game than others have. This team needs a spark offensively. All over the map today on the text line.
A little Tomasino Pitlick. What kind of line could we come up with here?
The text line is on one.
The text line is on fire.
They are on one this morning.
I like it.
I tell you what, the emotional roller coaster playoffs, like, what's going to happen if they win tonight? They're playing in the Cup Parade tomorrow?
Exactly. All of a sudden, it's like, watch out, Colorado. We're coming for you.
I get it. Look, this is part of what makes the playoffs so fun is each game that goes by, you either get extremely high off a win, extremely low off a loss. That's why you hear coaches and players all the time say, don't get too high, too low. It's our favorite quote there, Joe.
So, if they win tonight, you think it's going to be pure sunshine in this fan base?
I don't know.
I think there'll still be a healthy amount of, okay, so Canes in five.
Depends on how
we'll
they win.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on how it looks.
Speaking of how it looks, there have been some interesting comments. This is not just a new thing either in terms of this series and in game one as well with the lineup discussion that we had yesterday, but also just the general idea that some fans have that the media market here is too soft, and they're too soft specifically with this Predators team. What do you think about that? Do you think there's any validity to the media market here in Nashville being too soft against the Predators, whether it comes to management, the coaches, criticism of the players, lineup decisions, everything involved in that? What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, you know, heard it a lot. And again, I think if you're comparing the Nashville sports media crew to Philly or Boston or New York, then it's way smaller, and I would agree that it's less aggressive. You know, I mean, in those markets, I mean, it's basically like when you increase the numbers to a certain point, you're just going to increase the possibilities of like super hot takey stuff. And so there's a lot of that. There's some outrageous stuff that you hear out of any of those markets, and so you're going to have more of that. But is the Nashville sports media soft? No, I don't think that's true. I really don't. I think the Preds, there's also a Preds Titans element to this too.
Yeah.
And that's fans and media. And I've heard that too. Like, you know, like Preds fans are more sensitive or whatever, or either or. They accuse each other. And of course, a lot of people are fans of both. So I got my column off the game the other day, Jeff D. I got to read some Jeff D comments. And Jeff D, thanks for subscribing to The Athletic, by the way.
Yes.
So this is his comment. The overwhelming majority of Nashville sports media, I've never heard anyone ever really ask a tough question. If they have, Poile has been able to dodge the question and get off the hook. Minor criticisms at best. I'd be more than happy to write a list of questions that not only need to be asked, but he needs to be pressed until he answered. So Jeff thinks that we are in a room with David Poile with like that hot, like the light, you know, like a police interrogation. I want answers right now, David Poile. You know, like, you tell me, should you be fired? I mean, it's amazing. Like, I love I'll give you the questions to ask. We know the questions. So I actually responded, and he said, you ask, but you never have a follow-up question to push him. Every single time one of you guys asks him a question, he pushes back. You fold. I've never heard any one of you hold him to an answer. Nashville media is soft. It is what it is. I get that it isn't New York or Philly or Boston, but this group of writers and radio personalities is buttery soft on Poile. And so then I said, okay, so I guess we should put him in a headlock and give him a noogie until he, like, you know, I don't know. But Jeff, a little bit overboard there. But I do hear that a fair amount. You know, that I do think with Poile, and it's also fans/media, there's a different deal than most GMs in pro sports franchises, because most of them are there for 5 to 7 years.
Yes.
And you fire someone and you move on. And it's whoever's putting this team together. David Poile is like, you know, he's been here from day one. So, and his personality lends to a lot of sentiment for him, a lot more for him than your typical professional sports general manager.
Yes.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Is that trickle into media? I don't think so, but I suppose. Maybe it's not as pointed at times as it is with other GMs. Is it more pointed for like a John Robinson than it is for David Poile? I bet you some people in the Titans building would say it is. I bet you. And you know what? Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something to that. The soft, I don't think it's fair. I think we ask all the questions that need to be asked. And you can't sit there, no, I don't like that answer. I want another answer, David Poile. I mean, listen to the press
answer it the way they answer it.
But hey, write up a list. Write up a list of your amazing questions.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Jedi mind tricks that we can use to get exactly the answers you want.
I'm sure there are fans in Boston, New York, too, that feel like their media is too soft.
Sure.
That they don't ask tough enough questions. I just kind of feel like this is a common sentiment for a lot of fans around the country.
Yes, I would agree. Now, yeah, I would agree at times. I mean, again, when fans are upset, when something's going really poorly, fans are mad.
Right.
And I get it. I mean, especially like fans who spend a lot of money to go to the games.
Sure.
And all that stuff. Like, they're mad, and we are the people who are there. We're the people who have the access to ask what. And so, I take that seriously. I think last year with the Titans, you know, I think it was important to ask Vrabel the D coordinator questions, even though he thought it was stupid, you know, and he didn't like it. I think that's the job, but it's like you get to this thing where, no, that's not a hard enough question. Like, so do you want a question or do you want like a statement like you suck and should be fired?
Yeah, that's not a question. It's not my job.
Now, of course, Nate on Twitter brings up a good point also. He says, don't ask Jared Stillman if the media is being too soft. He'll say, hell yes, I'm the only one asking the hard questions. That's right. The hard questions about Eli Tolvanen's resentment.
Oh, thanks, Nate. We appreciate that.
See, that was Nate bringing Jared up, not me.
Yes. Well done. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've had some doozies today on the text line. Keep them coming. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves at First Horizon Park. Pre-game with Jeff Hem begins at 6:20. First pitch is at 6:35. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and by 312 Pizza Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, coming up at 8 o'clock, we will have some tickets to give away for your opportunity to watch the Predators in this series against Carolina at home at Bridgestone Arena. So make sure you're tuning in at 8 o'clock for that. Some tickets to give away each day this week at 8 o'clock. So that coming up here in about 45 minutes or so. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's been an interesting day on the text line so far. Huffy texting in saying, put Juice on line one, put Duchesne in goal, and roll from there. There have been some interesting ones today.
Boom. That's good. Finally. Finally a real answer.
Our good friend Pred Kelly on the text line saying, fellow Preds fans need to realize that sometimes the other team is clearly better than our team. Carolina is a solid team from top to bottom, and it's going to be an uphill battle to beat them 4 out of 7 times, which just isn't going to happen, no matter how hard I wish it does. Grandlin line isn't a physical line and can't play that way and be effective.
Well, they've done some good things. Yeah, they're not the herd line, but they have their own niche that they've carved out, and that needs to show up tonight. You know, it doesn't have to be all herd. You know, there was extra herd in the first.
There was a little extra herd in the first game.
All the herd.
Let's go back to the text line. April in Portland texting in. I don't understand why Hines wouldn't have gone with the May 8th lineup where Carolina was playing for the President's Trophy and we were playing to clinch. The Preds, they looked good and won that game. The formula worked. So why not use that for game one? I hope all the core players get their life together and play the way they need to play. I love Yossi, but that's the worst game I've seen him play in recent years. Love your guys' show. Listen every morning and getting ready and until my first block starts. Hopefully vibing tonight for the Predators. Thank you, April.
Thanks, April. That. And, yeah, I think that's a good point. So that lineup, did she include the lineup on the text? Is that right?
She did.
Yeah, so let me remember then. Okay, well, it's not the – but, yeah, basically that was like Tolvanen up with the – like they
top
had
line.
Gone.
Yep.
Top line. Obviously 2 and 4, the same. And then the third line, you've got
– Halla, Duchesne. I believe Richardson was in that night.
Yeah. No, I mean, that would be a fine lineup, I think. Now, I know some people on the text line are calling for Rocco. And I don't – look, I don't dismiss that. It's just no. It's difficult to make it all work.
Well, the question is, if Rocco is going to be in there, where are you putting him? Because we've seen some people say you're taking Victor Arvidsson out. I just don't envision a scenario where they're taking him out. He's coming back in. That was his first game coming back from injury the other day. Like, I have a hard time believing that Victor Arvidsson is just not going to be in there. So if Arvidsson's going to be in there – you want Tolvanen back in there for the power play. I just don't see a spot for Rocco at that time. Like, I don't know where you're going to put him at that point.
Yeah, it's tough. I think Nick Cousins brings something for sure. You talk about someone who can be physical, who can agitate the other team, make some plays. I kind of thought Richardson was one of the guys I thought would be in game one because of how he finished the regular season. I think he's one of my top candidates to possibly be in tonight.
Matt from the Borough texting in saying, I feel like the lineup solution is pretty simple. You put Tolvanen in for Olivier. Tolvanen slots up to line one with Johansson and Forsberg. Drop Arvidsson down to the third line with Hall and Duchesne. Pair Fabro or Benning with Harper. The size and grit is there with the Hurd line. They should be concerned about matching speed and scoring more than two goals a game. This is coming from Matt in the Borough. So saying Tolvanen comes back in, he's up back on the top line. You just move Arvidsson down to the third line with Hall and Duchesne. I think that that is a route they could go tonight. I think that's absolutely on the table. Like, if you're going to put Tolvanen in there, to me, I mean, I'd like to see him play with Johansson and Forsberg. I mean, you've got to find a way to get him going 5-on-5. We talk about the power play, and that's one thing. Like, you've got to have him on the power play, but he can't just be there and skating 5-on-5. He's got to be a factor. And he was a factor when he was on his game earlier this year, 5-on-5. He's got to find a way to get back to that if he's going to be in there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very difficult. You've got to be okay. You got to be solid 5-on-5. But the power play, I just feel like you're going to have some goals from those guys. You're going to have to keep up to the point of the texter talking about matching speed, matching goals. I mean, that to me is where you can possibly compensate in this series, right? Is by scoring on that unit. Got to have some.
Kyle on Periscope says, Arvidsson has not done well in the playoffs in a long time. That's the issue people have with him, kind of looking at this lineup right now. I mean, that's a fair point to bring up with Arvidsson. I mean, I thought he was pretty good last year in Arizona.
He had 3 goals in 4 games.
In the 4 games, and he looked good. Now, he did get hurt again at the end of that series. So that goes back to, can he handle the beating that you're going to take in the playoffs? I mean, I think that's a pretty fair question at this point with Victor Arvidsson. But for the most part, I think Kyle is right. The production has not been the same for Arvidsson in the playoffs as we've seen in the regular season. We talked about that with Granlund earlier as well. What do they have in common? I mean, they're kind of smaller guys as they head in the playoffs. Ryan Ellis, a smaller guy as they get in the playoffs. Now, not to say that Arvidsson's never been good in the playoffs. I mean, I thought 2017, he was all right in the playoffs. He's pretty good. Ryan Ellis was dynamite in the playoffs in 2017.
Yes, despite being hurt for a lot of it.
Yeah, and so it's not like they just can't do it. But there is something, too, I think, especially with Arvidsson, the beating that he's taken throughout the course of his career. I think he's getting to the point and gets to the point throughout the course of a regular season where that beating adds up, and as the season goes on, and you brought this up yesterday, it just feels like he's not the same guy by the time the playoffs come around.
It sure looks like it. Yeah, it sure looks like it. And that's the problem with being smaller. You know, no one says you can't play in this league. You have to be 6'2", 220 to play in this league, but sometimes that does help with being able to absorb the hits. And Ellis, I agree. 2017, he was fantastic. But if we're stretching back to that far, you know, then I think Ellis has had a lot of bad moments in recent postseasons.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texting in, if Arvidsson's role is speed and energy and you guys feel good about dropping to the third line, then swap him for Rocco and drop Rocco to the third line. Well, you could certainly make the argument right now. If you're going for speed, Grimaldi brings more of that to the table right now than Arvidsson does. Now, is Grimaldi the player that Arvidsson is? I still say no. I think Arvidsson is a better player than Grimaldi is. But I do think, to Paul's point, if speed is what you're going for, you can make an argument that Grimaldi, right now, his speed element is better than Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah, and talking about past postseasons again, 2 years ago, he was your best forward, which is mostly a terrible comment on everybody else.
Yeah.
And a comment on what Dallas did in that series. They locked it down. But, I mean, there's a history of him playing well in the playoffs that you can point to. Not that long ago.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan from Hermitage, who wants to weigh in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. Hey, Joe, I kind of like what you said before, the slogan, the Jedi mind tricks. What if Hines were to play one tonight on Carolina and set up the entire lineup that they have for Monday's game, but also dress like a Tolvanen and Grimaldi or someone, or Benning or Fabro, and mix them in, send the entire lineup out, and then at pregame warm-ups, switch the lineup where Carolina won't have a chance to match up their lineup against them.
So you're saying bring out a lineup for the warm-ups and then just switch it up as you go in there?
Yep.
Hey? I've seen crazier things happen in the playoffs before. That's for sure.
Have you ever seen that happen?
I don't think so. Not to that degree. Maybe, I mean, I've seen the, hey, we're going to bring every single player we have out for warm-ups so you don't know who's going to be in the lineup.
Right.
I've seen that. But I've never seen you just start skating with people and then it's totally different once you get in the game.
Hide them.
Not a bad idea.
Have them hide.
Yeah.
Bring out a Lewington comes out. Laviolette
used to do that a few times. There'd be the whole, hey, the Predators have 27 people out there for warm-ups. Who's going to play tonight in the game?
I see there's some frustration with him out there, by the way, now. Yeah. So it's good to see, finally
Washington
media,
in.
You're starting to see what it's like, right? He won't tell you anything about his lineup, his goalies. But, hey, don't ask soft questions.
That's right. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also coming up, Grizzlies with a play-in game tonight. Number one, what do we think of this play-in game in the NBA? And do people in Nashville, is there any appetite for the Memphis Grizzlies whatsoever? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Listen to The Game every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's The Game's 1K payday presented by Kentucky Kingdom and by Hurricane Bay. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and at 3 o'clock. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Predators and the Hurricanes Game 2 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Greg on the text line says, put Ellie Tolvanen in and switch the sides he is on with Forsberg on the power play. So a different wrinkle there from Greg saying put Tolvanen in, put him on the right to set up the one-timer, put up Forsberg on the left, and take approach that way.
Why?
I think they like Tolvanen where he is on the left circle because of his wrist shot. But I understand the thought process. I mean, they did this with Weber, too. They'd put him over in the left circle and just set up the one-timer. But I think the way that they, if they're going to put Tolvanen in there, I wouldn't expect it to look much different. I think he'll be on the left and have Forsberg able to either shoot it coming down that wing there or slide it across over to Tolvanen for his shot.
Yeah, it's the best power play when they had it going with that exact construction we've seen. In a long time. Since when? You guys tell me.
Oh, probably at least since like 16.
Well, wasn't it the 11-12 season where they had one of the top five power plays in the league?
Yeah.
Or at one point late in the season, they had a top five power play in the league?
Yeah, Weber blasting and Hornquist dodging pucks and getting rebounds and putting it in net. Basically what their formula was at that time.
It's pretty good.
Worked pretty well. Yeah.
Worked pretty well for the Panthers this year with Hornquist in front.
It did. It's pretty good.
He almost got that equalizer last night.
He did.
I mean, Mike Ribeiro, when he was on the power play, they had some moments of being okay.
Yeah. They've had some good power plays.
Yeah.
Problem is, the last 3 or 4 years, they have not had some good power plays. It's been
Chase,
a struggle.
Chase brought this up, and I think we referenced it earlier in the season, but the Preds' power play at times feels like the Titans' pass rush.
Just a lost cause.
Where it's just like, how has it gone this long without it being figured out?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Titans on third down defense.
Yeah.
Right.
In general. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's good. It's fair.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texting in, Ryan Ellis should be set the rest of the series. Two goals went in because Ellis got beat. Fabbro or Benning should be in instead. And once the Canes started hitting back, the Preds couldn't keep up. Ryan Ellis not very popular the last couple of days on the text line.
So are you going to put Erica Branson in over Ryan Ellis?
It's not an option.
We have to get to the place where players can have bad games and you still realize they're the best chance you have to win. Ryan Ellis was not good in game one. If you think that any one of those options are better than Ryan Ellis, I got nothing for you.
Yeah. Well, I do think that the idea of Ellis Ekholm is interesting.
Sure.
The idea of switching up the top four.
I mean, you can move him around.
He's certainly going to be in the lineup.
He's going to play, and he should play. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, David Ferentz is +3 in two games. He's got wheels and is a puck-carrying playmaker like Roman Josi. What do we think about him getting in? I don't know. First off, I don't think he's going to be in. I have liked what I've seen from him. in the two games that he's been in there. Now, it's a very small sample size. And David Ferentz was very good in college. I think the future for him is pretty bright here. I think he's going to be a good player. Is he ready now for playoff hockey? I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that. But I will say the two games that I've seen Ferentz play at the NHL level, I've been pretty impressed by what I've seen.
Yeah.
They've sheltered him, and it's been in a very limited role. So you have to keep that in mind. But I've been impressed by what I've seen.
Just wait until game four, Tomasino, Ferentz, Lewington.
Yeah.
It's going to be Pitlick's going to be wild, man.
McCarron.
There you go.
Get a little Michael McCarron in there? Yeah. At Gators Z, or at Gators underscore Z on Twitch says, move Duchesne up with Forsberg and open him up a little bit. Duchesne can't drive a line. Put him with someone who can.
I don't hate the idea of Duchesne actually getting a look with Johansson and Forsberg.
I don't either.
I kind of thought it looked interesting in that, granted, meaningless game. But the Duchesne, you know, you got to have more from him. I think you got to give more opportunity. And I don't know, man. I could see it going any which way with Duchesne in this series.
I could too.
I could see at some point Duchesne not playing.
Yeah.
Not in the lineup. I think that's certainly on the table right now.
I think it is too, which is crazy to think about. Like, if you had told me that heading into the series, I'd have said he's going to play. But I don't know, man. I think they could reach a point where he doesn't. I mean, if you're playing 7 minutes at even strength, I mean, what are you doing out there?
I made a case last night on Preds Insiders for that to happen, either to start the game tonight or if by midway through the second period you're not liking what you're seeing out of the top line, you put Duchesne with Forsberg and Johansson. And I heard from someone saying that Duchesne hasn't earned that. And my comeback to that was, well, at some point you have to try to get Duchesne going.
Yeah.
And don't play him.
Well, and putting him with Johansson and Arvidsson could be basically the last resort to try to get him going offensively.
You think if he can't do it,
Johansson and Forsberg.
Oh, yeah, okay, you said Arvidsson. Yeah.
Oh, I meant Johansson and Forsberg. Yeah. And if he can't do it then maybe you consider what you are talking about. But I don't do that until you try Duchesne with Forsberg and Johansson in the series.
It's not about deserve either. Like, that's a word kind of like resentment that to me it has no place. Like, you are trying to win. So if you're not happy with what Duchesne's done or whatever the case may be, if he still gives you the best chance wherever in that lineup, that's why you do it. You don't say, well, he has not earned that. Or on the text line today, we got some good stuff. The players would play harder for Pekka thing.
Yeah.
It's the playoffs. Like, they're not going to play any harder than they're playing right now. They may not win, but they're playing hard.
I don't think the effort's the question.
Yeah, it's not about effort.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Raymond texting in, if the Preds lose tonight, it's time to start talking about who's protected in the expansion draft.
Oh, here we go, baby.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
Is Adam Vingan protected in the expansion draft?
That's right.
Soft media member Adam Vingan.
Yes.
Take him to Seattle, yes. Kraken.
See Adam.
He can go cover Duchesne in Seattle.
By the way, Adam joining us later on the show today at 9:30. So
nice. We'll hope you're listening, Adam.
Coming up at 9:30. Joe? Another playoff game, kind of, happening tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies taking on the San Antonio Spurs in a play-in game tonight in the NBA. What do you thought of this play-in game stuff that the NBA has thrown out there? Is it good? Is it bad? Do you like it? And how much of an appetite do you think there is here in the Middle Tennessee area for the Memphis Grizzlies? Does it take a run like we saw a couple of years ago with the grit and grind Grizzlies, and there's some playoff wins to go along with it? Does it take something like that to get it going here? Or do you think with Ja Morant and how good he's been the last couple of years, do you think there's an appetite here for Memphis Grizzlies basketball?
How much did people get into Conley, Z-Bo, and those guys, grit and grind?
I mean, it wasn't I wouldn't say it swept the city or anything like that, but there was moderate interest, I thought.
I had a lot of interest.
Yeah.
That's when I jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I don't sense a ton of interest in that, but on your question on the play-in stuff, it seemed incredibly stupid to me. But I got to say,
I kind of
like
it.
There's been a lot of regular season games down the stretch that normally would have meant nothing, yeah. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, look, I'm more excited for, like, when you get a matchup like Steph against the Lakers tonight, like, while the Preds post-game presser is going on tonight, that will be on.
Yeah.
You won't be watching the Avalanche drub the Blues again?
Well, it'll be back and forth. It'll be back and forth. But that game is, you know, really interesting. And obviously the winner, so for people who don't know, like the winner of the 7-8 game is the 7 seed.
They're locked in.
The winner of the 9-10 game plays the loser of the 7-8 game to be the 8 seed.
Yep.
Again, at first I'm like, what? Why? What are we doing? You got 8 teams on each side isn't enough, but I've kind of come
like
around.
It. Yeah. The first round of the NBA playoffs, other than a couple of like 3-6 matchups and the 4-5, like the 1-8 and the 2-7 is generally the worst thing in sports. Like it's just, it's chalk. Hardly ever is there an upset. It happens from time to time, but it happens very rarely in the NBA. So to spice this thing up a little bit, I kind of like it.
But I will say this too, in the West this year, you know, if it's Lakers and Warriors as the 7-8,
it could be some upsets.
With Jazz Suns as the 1-2, yeah. I actually feel like there's some interest in those.
Absolutely.
Those series could be interesting.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian in Portland texting in. I actually really like the playing games. It's good for basketball. I'm a Heat fan, but last night's game were fun to watch. And besides the Pacers making the Hornets look like a college team, it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, what the heck? I didn't watch any of that, but what the heck are the Hornets doing?
I don't know.
And the Pacers were missing, who the heck were they missing? They were missing somebody.
I know they're missing Oladipo because he got traded.
Yeah, but someone else was hurt, and they score 144.
Were they missing Reggie Miller?
Yes. Reggie Miller not in the lineup.
Rick Smits. Rick Smits was banged up.
Yes.
Austin Crozier.
Oh. Crozier to you, but yes.
Yes.
Providence. Providence legend. Yeah, how many Heat fans do we have on the text line, by the way? You got like Heat Nation.
An army over here. We're all together.
So you got Heat. Heat
Bucks.
Bucks, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't feel good about it.
No.
I feel worse about it because the Heat beat them last year in the playoffs. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but I do.
Yeah, a little retribution. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. When we come back, it's time for The Choice is Yours. We've got different scenarios both in sports and in life. We throw those out there next and debate. As always, take your response as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. As always, we'll take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today. Joe, without further ado, I turn it over to you in today's edition of The Choice is Yours.
I'd like to start by saying, you know, I've been sick this week, so, you know, get me a break. I switched to Sanka. Sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
All right. And sports, both of my sports questions are hockey related.
Cool.
It's that time of year. So Stanley Cup playoff edition, you've got an over, you know, I love these. You got an overtime breakaway to win a game in overtime. Or if you don't convert this breakaway, you are going to lose coming back the other way.
Okay.
You know this, as you pick one player from these playoffs, this postseason, to finish that play, who is your choice?
Connor McDavid. Well, it's tough because I was considering Connor McDavid is in my mind, Nathan MacKinnon is in my mind, Austin Matthews is in my mind as well. Leads the NHL in goals.
You can discount Sidney Crosby just with how clutch he's been over the years.
Give me McDavid. He'll find a way to score. He'll breathe the puck into the net. He's been that good this year.
McJesus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Give me Nathan MacKinnon.
That's a pretty good choice.
Nathan MacKinnon has already started the postseason on fire. I'm sure McDavid will tonight, too, because he's owned Winnipeg. But, yeah. I mean, you're splitting hairs.
That's my choice as well. And I thought of this, like, watching that absolute onslaught the other night. Like, that guy's just stupid. We're going to look back at that 2018 playoff series and be like, yeah, you were just seeing this at the very beginning
like
of these guys.
Little baby bird sprouting his wings in playoff series.
But, yeah, it's either are great choices. That's a good point about Crosby. I mean, we talk about someone who, you know, who finishes. when it matters. He's done that. All right. Non-sports. Would you rather have world-class chef skills? So, and I'm talking any genre, you know, so you could make the most ridiculous gourmet French or Indian or Thai food or whatever you want.
Okay.
Or be able to operate any kind of craft in the world. Subs, planes, tanks. You are an expert. You can operate any sort of machinery in the world. Which would you pick?
Fourth, you want to start?
I'll take the chef skills.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Make any meal in the world.
What would your meal be?
Mac and cheese.
Practice.
Just put bacon in it.
Oh, yeah. Mac and cheese.
Put bacon in it.
Bacon, yeah. Chicken, mac and cheese.
Yes.
You're going to learn all these skills in mac and cheese. Yeah. With
gourmet mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese with escargot in it.
Just roll out a box of Velveeta.
Hey, that is, you know what? The mac and cheese is a skill.
Yeah?
Let me ask you guys real quick.
I've got that skill.
This is a big problem in my household. I get ripped all the time because I pour the stuff in with the noodles, the milk, the butter, and the cheese stuff and mix it up. Like my wife does it in a bowl separately and then pours it on the noodles. Which one do you guys do?
Separately. And then separately. On the noodles.
God. You're alone in this.
Whatever,
one.
Man.
I mean, I don't guess it really matters.
I mean, I shouldn't be mad at you guys for that, but I just, I've made amazing batches of macaroni, and they're like, oh, this sucks. You don't know how to make it. I'm like, that's perfect macaroni.
Perfect. Well, don't you have to boil the noodles?
Right, but so what I'm saying is that once the noodles are boiled and you've drained them, then I pour the milk, the butter, and the cheese in with the noodles and mix it all up like that.
But then you might have...
I don't want to hear it.
Like a strainer?
No. What? No. You've strained the noodles.
Yeah.
You've drained them. You put it. Now that they're cooked.
The water's gone.
And so now I just put my milk and my butter and cheese into the pot and mix it all up like that.
Yeah.
My wife and actually kids now do it separately and pour it on. I'm like, well, that's you're using like an extra bowl that you don't need to use.
Like after you put it on the plate?
He's like, really struggling.
God, dude. Are you the text line today?
We're going to have to walk him through this step by step.
We'll devote another segment to this later.
Support your pick of the chef. All that to say,
give me all the mac and cheese.
I'm operating the machinery.
I figured you'd go.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. Like, I have dark thoughts sometimes. I'm sitting there on the plane like, what happens? Like, would somebody be able to fly this plane if need be? I mean, that would be a great skill to have if you need somebody to fly a plane. Operate any sort of like a bulldozer? Yeah. Give me that skill all day long.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd eventually find a use for it.
I'm about to fly for the first time in like 14 months.
Sorry for putting that thought in your head.
Gosh, I wish I knew how to. But yeah, I'm going to go the chef skills. I love cooking. People make fun of my cooking, but I still try. And the ability to make anything and take any ingredients and just make something amazing out of it, yeah, that would be awesome, even if I'm the only one who likes it.
Let's go to a text line real quick, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texting in for the breakaway conversation. Yarn croak for the breakaway, behind his back, left-handed, just to impress Joe.
Oh, there nice. There you go, Heidi. I like it. Rex croak.
Josh says, hey, I'm with you, Joe. Mix it all in the same bowl, talking about the mac and cheese.
Thank you. I mean, it's not that hard.
I still don't understand.
Okay, you've got the pot. You've drained the macaroni.
Oh, God.
So what Katie does is she will mix the cheese sauce, the milk, and the butter together, and then pour it on in the pot. So now the sauce is made and separately, and you pour it out. I put the ingredients for the sauce in with the noodles and stir it all up together.
Yes.
Now, at times, my kids say, see, you got clumps in here because you did that.
Yeah.
It's chalky. If you mix it all up beforehand, so which do you do of those two choices?
Before.
He's still over in right field. He has no clue what's happening.
How is this difficult?
I don't know.
Still mix it separately.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Does that answer the question?
Yes.
I mean, it really wasn't my question at all, but thanks for bringing up a sore spot in my life.
Maybe now y'all will have to come over and watch me make mac and cheese and decide for yourself.
Maybe so.
Like I said, if you throw bacon in it, it makes it all better, right?
And chicken.
That's not bad. Okay. For the sake of this city, the Preds can make the Stanley Cup final this year.
Okay.
Get within a win of taking the cup. But then they're not going to make the playoffs for the next 3 years while going through a massive rebuild. Or they get bounced in the five by the Hurricanes, They will make the playoffs the next 3 years. No word on how they do. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But it will be just some retooling of their core right now. Which would you choose?
What about you, Porth? You go first.
I'm not sure I understand the question. No, I'll take option B.
So you'll take bounce right now and the lineup not significantly change over the next few years, but you know that they're going to make the playoffs the next 3 years.
But option A is getting one win from the cup and then you blow it up?
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Well, okay, but the choice is yours. It's not realistic that you're going to have this choice either, but but this way it makes it a tough choice.
All right, I'll go with...
Well said. We're nicely done.
Right. Option A.
Oh, now you're on option A.
Swung around. I'm going with option A. Give me option B, because at least with option B, there's still a chance you might win the cup. A chance.
Yeah.
Maybe a small chance, but a chance. I'll go option B.
I think a lot of people would go with option A because they want the massive rebuild.
Yeah.
But I would go option B, too, because at least there's some postseason uncertainty that could result in a run. And in this sport, that happens.
Yeah.
Right? You got absolutely the random run. All right, last one. You have to give one of these things up for the rest of your life. And I'm making assumptions here. I will tell you guys that I love both of these things very much. So if you don't, it's an easy choice. You have to give up one of these things, beer or pizza. Which one are you giving up for the rest of your life?
That's a tough one. I would probably...
I mean, they go together like peanut butter and jelly.
They
but,
do.
You know.
I would give up beer, but it'd be hard. I'd give up beer, but I just love pizza too much. I've got to have pizza. I eat pizza like once every week and a half. It's probably not good.
So does this include any form of pizza? Like a calzone?
Pizza!
He's coming with calzone questions, though. Yes. You can't have calzones either.
I'll have the beer, ditch the pizza, and have the beer with mac and cheese.
Look, he's going to sit there. Does this include the pizza Lunchables that you can get at the grocery store? pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, those are.
I would also enjoy a beer with my calzone.
There you go.
Yeah, I've got to give up pizza, too, as much as I love pizza, and I love it. Believe me. And, you know, there's other options and stuff like that. I'm kind of liking bourbon as I get older a little more, but it's too much good beer out there. Got to do it.
A couple people on the text line agree with both of you. They're giving up pizza immediately in favor of the beer. Eric in Bellevue says, next up on Cooking 101, how to make mac and cheese with Ryan Porth. We'll see how that goes. Nate says, giving up pizza, no question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone giving up beer?
I don't think there's not been one person. I mean, I've given it up. There's not one person on this text line that's given up beer.
Yeah.
I ain't giving up beer.
Keith on the text line.
I love pizza, though. It hurts.
Keith on the text line says, has Ryan entered the transfer portal this morning? I like that.
Ooh, the portal.
Very well done. That is today's edition of The Choice Is Yours. Well done, Joe Rexrode. We'll continue to get your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, it's time for Game 2 tonight for the Predators. What should the lineup look like? All three of us give our opinions coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And the ticket giveaway.